Let us pray. Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes that we may see the Christ in each other and so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our ears, O God, that we may hear your word and that word will influence our lives. Open our lips that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. During the 5 Sundays in Lent, we said we will look at the 5 marks of mission. The first week, the first mark to tell, that is to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Last Sunday, to teach, to baptize and nurture new believers. And today, we reflect on the third mark of mission, to tend, to respond to human need by loving service. To respond to human need by loving service. And so we are reminded of a very familiar story, perhaps all of us know it, from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Verses 25 to 37. The story of the Good Samaritan. One day a lawyer wanted to test Jesus. So he came to him and said, "Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law?" And of course, being a lawyer, he knew what the law was all about. So he answered promptly. "The law says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responded, "Yes, you have answered correctly. Do that and live." Of course, the man was embarrassed because he had asked a question and he obviously knew what the answer was. So in order to justify himself, in order to get back some of what he felt he lost, he would ask Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And it is in response to that that Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, a distance of about 17 miles. But it was a very dangerous, a very treacherous journey, for the road was not only rocky, but there were caves along the roadway. And in these caves, robbers would hide and attack the people as they moved along the road. And yes, as the story would have it, this man was attacked by robbers. He was stripped of his clothes, he was beaten, and he was left at the side of the road to die. And by chance, a priest came along. And the priest obviously saw the man because he deliberately walked on the other side. He was repelled by the sight of this bleeding, dying man at the side of the road. He probably didn't look at him too long, because, you know, what you don't see, don't bother you. So he passed on the other side. He didn't even stop to find out if the man was dead or alive. He just continued on his way. You know, ignorance is bliss. So in his blissful ignorance, he continued. And then a Levite passed. A Levite was one of those who would assist the priests in the temple. And the Levite did the same thing. He passed by on the other side. Two individuals who obviously would have been familiar with the commandments, who obviously would have known the law, which the lawyer repeated, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, did not connect that that man there was their neighbor. They did not connect because it was obvious that they were going through the motions of their religion. They had the law in their heads, but not in their hearts. And so they didn't connect the fact that when you are striving to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, that is reflected in your love for God's people. It is reflected in your love for God's creatures. It is reflected in your love for God's creation. Because as you strive to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, you begin to love that which belongs to God. God's word, God's people, God's creation. They didn't understand that. Fortunately for the man, a Samaritan came along. A bad boy. A traitor as far as the Jews were concerned. An unbeliever. And the Samaritan saw the man at the side of the road. When he looked at him, he did not see race or creed or color. The Samaritan saw a human being in distress. And Jesus says he was moved with pity and he went to the man. And when you follow the story as Jesus told it, the Samaritan did six things for him. He went to him. He poured oil for healing and wine as an antiseptic on his wounds. He bandaged the man's wounds using, of course, material that he would have had, probably pieces of his clothes. He put the man on his animal. He took him to the inn and cared for him for a while. And when he had to move on, he left the innkeeper 2 denarii so that the man could stay there for at least 2 months so that he could be totally healed. The one who was never expected to demonstrate love for his neighbor was the one who actually did it. Why? Because he had the law not in his head, but in his heart. And we need to remember that because at the beginning of Lent, we prayed that God will give us a new and contrite heart. Not a heart that is selfish and self-centered, but a heart that enables us to see the suffering of others and to respond to it. That characteristic that God expects of us which enables us to respond to the suffering and to the needs and the pain of others, is called compassion. To suffer with. So as you suffer with someone, your desire is to help them, to relieve them from their pain and their suffering. And it takes a deliberate action for us to do that. Because compassion calls us, like the Good Samaritan, to stop our own journey and to give time to someone else. Sometimes it will cause us to break our journey, because obviously the Samaritan put aside his own business to ensure that this suffering human being would be on the road to healing and wholeness. So he had to set aside his own business, his own journey, to look after this individual. And that is what compassion calls us to do sometimes, to forget what we are about and to recognize that the greater need has to be looked after first before we look after ourselves. His compassion costs the Good Samaritan time and money. But the Samaritan understood that his time was God's time. And he would want to use his time in the way that God will desire of him, in a way that was pleasing to God. So yes, he would spend the time looking after the man. He would wait there to ensure that he was on the road to be mended before he went on his way. His compassion cost him money, but he understood that any money that he had would have been because God was blessing him. And therefore, he was required to pass on those blessings to others. Because God does not continue to bless you unless you share what you have. So the Samaritan understood that. So he would pay. He would leave the money so that the man could really be healed completely before he would continue his journey. And that is what Jesus requires of us as his disciples. As we grow in our relationship with God, our eyes and the eyes of our hearts are opened so that we become sensitive to the suffering and the pain of others. And therefore we are moved by this compassion which God gives us to do something. Of course, sometimes we might feel very helpless. What can I do? You sit and you look at the television and you see the children in Syria suffering as a result of the continuous bombings. Every day, bombs are rained on their town. And you might feel a sense of helplessness. However, we need to understand that each of us, we have a very powerful instrument that we can use, even though we may know the people may be far away, even though we may not know them. We must, as Christian people, believe in the power of prayer. Part of our faith and our understanding of God is that God always hears the prayers of God's people and God always responds. Not necessarily in our way or in our time, But God always responds. And God is a God of love. And God does not desire God's people to suffer. But the suffering comes because we are disobedient. Because those who are raining the bombs on the people of Syria probably have no relationship with God. They're moved by selfishness and anger and violence and a desire to conquer others. And if we see that suffering taking place and we are not moved by it, we are not moved even to utter a prayer for those children, then something must be wrong with us. We are missing something. Like the priests and the Levite, we might have the law in our heads, but not in our hearts. And so compassion, being moved to bring relief to the suffering and the pain of others, is a characteristic of a disciple of Christ. And imagine how that poor man would have felt with all this kindness. It would have renewed his faith in human beings. Because after being set upon by robbers and beaten and stripped of his clothes, he would not have had a good mind for people. But experiencing that kindness, that compassion, that love from the Good Samaritan would have redeemed humankind for him. It would also have renewed his faith in God, because he would understand it was God who moved this individual to show such kindness and such love. And so you see, when we are able to respond in love to the pain and suffering of others, it is one way of helping them to come to an understanding of God and having a desire in their hearts to love and serve God in Jesus Christ. In other words, it is part of our deliberate action to influence others for Christ, to make disciples of others. So we must understand that God expects us not to pass by on the other side, not to plead ignorance and walk away in bliss, but to stop and to demonstrate that we understand that by loving God, we are able to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. A neighbor has nothing to do with race or religion or color or gender. Neighbor has to do with an individual like us who is made in the image and likeness of God. So we don't pass by. We stop. We break our journey. And we do what love requires of us. We give of our time. We give of our substance. So that a human being in pain and suffering could experience the love of God through us. What greater vocation is there in the world than to help someone who is suffering experience the love of God through you? What greater experience is there than to allow God to use you, unworthy as we are, as an instrument of God's peace and God's love in the world. It has the power to change the hearts of others. It has the power to bring them into a relationship with God. It has the power to enable them to be new creatures, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And this mark of mission is important for us because it is the basis on which we will, in the final analysis, be judged. Jesus sets it out for us in Matthew 26, the parable of the last judgment. When the king sits on the throne, the king does not ask what religion you belong to. The king does not even ask how many times you went to church, as important as that is. The king asks, what did you do? How did you show love? How did you show that you understood that building a relationship with God empowers you to love each other? That is why it's the first commandment, because we have to do that first. And when we do that, the second flows directly from the first. As we build our relationship with God, it opens the eyes of our hearts so that we can respond to human need and suffering. So the king will ask, I was hungry. Did you feed me? I was thirsty. Did you give me drink? And he's not only talking about physical hunger or thirst, because there's emotional hunger and thirst. There is spiritual hunger and thirst all around us. But we have to ask God to open the eyes of our hearts so that we will see, so that we will not just pass by on the other side, but that we will, as disciples of Christ, do as Jesus would do. Stop. Jesus was also on his way to Jerusalem when the blind man called out to him. And the disciples said, hush, the master is busy. And Jesus hears and he stops and he calls the man to him. He responds to the cry of a human being. And sadly, you know, we have human beings crying all around us. Every day, we open the newspaper, we see some mother or grandmother crying for some son who was murdered, crying for some daughter who was murdered by someone who was supposed to love her. How do we respond to that? Do we do like the newspaper and just count the numbers? Well, it's 87 today. Well, that's fine. Does that touch us anywhere? Does that make us to go on our knees and pray for those families? Or pray for our nation? That is the people of God, we will change our ways, we will repent so that God could heal our land? Or have we become so insensitive that it makes no difference? And we need to remember that what that says about us is that our relationship with God is not what it's supposed to be. Because if we have a relationship with God, we will be moved by compassion and love to respond to the pain and suffering of others. And so when we talk about these five marks of mission, you know, we might think, well, that's something for the church. No, it is something for us, each of us, if we are serious about being disciples of Christ, we have to so build our relationship with God that we are able each and every time to respond with love to human need and suffering. And we need to remember, you know, the end of the parable. When Jesus asked the lawyer, and who was the neighbor to that individual? And in embarrassment, the lawyer said, well, the one who showed him mercy. Remember what Jesus said? Go and do likewise. And Jesus speaks to us today. Don't mind your own business and pass on the other side. Human need and suffering is our business. And if we are serious about being disciples of Christ, then, like the Samaritan, we have to go and do likewise. The Lord be with you. And so we stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.